Welcome to this podcast for St. Peter's Church Greenhill, as we seek to become loving, witnessing and growing people.
When I grew up in Middlesbrough, we had a name for those who grew up in the moorland villages surrounding us, where basically all that grew was sheep and little else. They were woolly backs. Derogatory, I know, but in return, we were known as smoggies, because due to the large-scale industrialisation in the Tees Valley. That's interesting, but why am I telling you this? Well, those from Galilee, and thus the people called by Jesus, were the nation of Israel's woolly backs. Or perhaps, in this case, scaly backs, because they were fishermen. They're from an underdeveloped region of the country, and the niceties of urban life have passed them by. Education at the time will have been rudimentary up until the age of 10 or 12, with local schools teaching what the community needed, and lots of education occurring at home. There'll have been some basic religious education, but not much. And after that? Well, in the case of the wealthy, or if a travelling rabbi, teacher, spotted a particular talent, then the opportunity to get a proper education in religion, writing, and some of the sciences related to this. Jim outlined the difference between Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes in his sermon last week. And as he said, the Sadducees were from the upper classes, so no Sadducee would have taken on the children of fishermen. So we're left with the scribes, who focused on the law and the sciences, and the Pharisees, who concentrated on the interpretation of religious texts. We see this in the stories about Jesus and his arguments with the religious leaders, where the scribes are shown as legalistic, while the Pharisees quote the prophecies and teachings from the Torah. In either case, talent or money would have been needed in order to secure a place in such training, and it would require a significant period away from the family home in order to complete that training. So such training has passed Andrew, Simon, James and John by. Either their families were too poor to get them an education, or they were not bright enough for someone to bother to take them on, or alternatively, they were too valuable to their families to let them go because they were needed to help on the boats. There's a strong suggestion that they were not too poor. That they were not too poor, as when Jesus calls them, they leave their father and the hired help. So it appears that the families owned the boats. But equally, they won't have been very rich in the grand scheme of things, as they were working day and night, catching fish to sell locally, and also probably to the urban communities that looked down their noses at them as scaly backs. We know from later in the New Testament that they were seen as provincial, because there are comments about them coming from Galilee, with the tone of people who are describing a backward people with little knowledge of the real world. They know about fishing, but not much else. Jesus, by this time, is about 30, but the people he calls will have been 18 or 20. Young men starting to make their own way in the world. We know, again from later in the Gospels, that Peter was married, so he won't have been much younger than that. But he can't have been much older either. Considering Jesus, we don't actually know anything about how he was educated. There's basically a huge gap between Jesus as a 6 to 8 year old getting lost and being found teaching in the temple, and Jesus the man who is now ready for his full-time ministry. Did he have a religious education? If so, was he an attentive student? Or did he have a rudimentary education and then work as a carpenter for 15 years before this? We simply don't know. But it's not of great importance, as this is a start of things, not the end of things. Jesus, the teacher, is now ready to take on apprentices and to teach them. And that's how advanced education is done at the time. So, he should be looking for bright 8 to 12 year olds who are ready to be taught and tutored to become religious leaders in their own right. Instead, he calls people who are beyond the age of teaching. They're learning their trade as fishermen, too old to get a proper education, but not old enough to run the boats in their own right. They therefore have limited status and use, but they're perfect for what Jesus wants. Clearly, Jesus isn't doing this by accident. He knows the conventions and the ways of life at the time far better than I do. So what is he doing? One thing is that Jesus knows he doesn't have very long to teach those he calls. In 3 years' time, he will die. And the things he says during the coming weeks and months after he calls these four young men shows that he's aware that this fate is awaiting him. So calling 8 to 12-year-olds would not have been appropriate, as they would still have been too young when their education was terminated in a gross and dramatic fashion. He needs to call men, not boys, in order for them to be ready to take his mission forward when he is no longer with them. Also, there is another message in his calling. He is not calling those who have a religious education. He doesn't concentrate on those who you would expect him to teach. He calls ordinary people. He's calling people like us. God has a habit of calling underqualified people. Abraham isn't a religious teacher when he's called. Moses isn't either, and neither is Noah. They are men with potential. They are men with potential who then have to suffer humiliation and hardship to fulfill the purpose of God. They are shaped after they are called, not before, as they would have been if they'd had a religious education from the Pharisees or the scribes. The only person called by Jesus who is qualified as a religious teacher is Paul. And he also has to suffer hardship when he's called, so that his zeal and enthusiasm for the law can be shaped to act the actual will of God, not what he was taught during his training. He needs his legalistic understanding of God to be reformed into an emotional understanding. So if God and Jesus call ordinary, uneducated people to follow, he can call us as well. He can shape us to follow his teaching. He does not assume we know what is required of us. He merely calls and waits for the answer. He wants to use our potential to benefit his kingdom. We have to answer when he calls. That one call is enough for Andrew, Simon, James, and John. They leave the boats and follow him. No hesitation, no questions, no doubts. Doubts arise later on, and some of them will fall away. But Andrew, Simon, James, and John repeatedly reaffirm their faith to that call. Can we do the same? Some will fall away. Some will repeatedly cycle through doubt and affirmation, and some will be hearing the call for the very first time. Simon, when answering the call to follow Jesus, didn't know what lay ahead. He didn't understand the learning he would complete, that he would cast out demons and heal the sick. He had no knowledge of his proclamation of Jesus as the Messiah, and his denial of Jesus moments before his crucifixion. However, Jesus shaped him and taught him so that he'd be the rock on which the church was built. He didn't know that this would ultimately lead to his death upside down on a cross. Would he have followed the call if he'd known? Was it important that he didn't know so that Jesus could shape him and form him into the person he needed to be without him worrying about the future? Is it therefore important for us to heed the call but not to think we know everything? Or do we need to listen instead to the word as spoken to us daily as we grow to be more like Jesus? Reflecting on this, think about your relationship with God. What is your current relationship with Jesus like? Are you following him faithfully, dropping everything to heed the call? Are you doubting and trying to find faith? Are you hearing the call clearly, or is it muffled? So let's take a few moments to sit in our seats and picture Jesus calling us in our daily lives. Reflect on how you answer that call. Just spend some time sitting in his presence. Lay your doubts before him and ask him for the faith to follow him, without knowing what the journey will be, but following him anyway.